Food and Wine magazine called Michter's the best American whiskey. And Michter's is the first American whiskey to be selected as Whiskey of the Year by Whiskey Exchange. Michter's, it's all about the whiskey. Welcome to In the Drink, the show where we talk to some of the most interesting people working in the beverage industry. I'm your host, Joe Campanelli, owner and wine director of Fausto in Park Slope, Brooklyn, which is actually where we record the podcast in the wine cellar every week. I also make some wine in Italy under the label Annona. This week, Nino Baracco joins us. Nino crafts distinctive and site-specific wines on the western part of Sicily. Nino's joined in the cellar by Martina Marandola Mullen, the Italian brand ambassador for Massanoit Imports. Martina's going to help translate. It was a great conversation. I can't wait for you to hear it. Can you tell us the history of the Baracco estate?
È molto semplice. Noi abbiamo iniziato nel 2004.
It's very simple. He says we started in 2004 after I studied political science. Decided to return to my land and approach my winemaking with a philosophy, not a material technical way of making wine. So more of a philosophical way of making wine.
Quindi una visione tutta nuova nel mondo del vino in cui tutti cercavano di fare il vino perfetto, noi ci siamo.
So it's a new approach in when a lot of people are looking to make perfect wines. Instead, we're looking to really show what the territory is and not necessarily make a perfect wine. Wine is culture. Culture are people. They aren't perfect, so I'm not looking for perfection. So we really want to liberate ourselves from the technical properties and really try to connect with people through this wine to kind of evoke emotions. So, for example, we're trying right now Vigna Mare, which is a very, very particular wine. It's from a vineyard that's 30 meters from the sea. So in this, you really see the Marsalan sea. And that's what we're looking for, the perfumes, he says, or the scents of the sea from Marsala. He says if a Marsala person smelled this wine anywhere in the world, the tears would come to their eyes because it would remind them of their home. So not a technically perfect wine, but a perfect wine in the sense that it evokes emotion.
It also evokes an emotion for me. The first time that I had this wine was also by the sea with my friend Chiara Pepe of Emidio Pepe Winery. And it really does bring me back. And I remember she was so excited about the work that you're doing there. And so I'm really happy to be tasting this wine again with you here.
Questo vino riesce a creare queste emozioni.
This is also a wine that it's complete. It's almost silly, like paradoxical in the fact that it does all of this because it's a wine that's just made with grapes. There's no sulfites. There's no technical anything. No intervention at all. He just kind of lets the grapes go. But in the end, it's what people connect to the most of all of his wines. It really represents him because it's what he was going back to before, which is just really to show the nature and to trust nature instead of trust man.
This wine has in it something that I really love in some of my favorite wines in the world. Not only that personality, but a tension to it. It has a ripeness and a honeyed character, but also it's very light and has good acidity. Is that very hard to attain in this area? Or is because you don't see a lot of wines like that from Sicily.
Questo è un vino che è nato un po' in un secondo momento nella.
This is actually the fruit of an experiment that he did. It was born in 2012, where everything else was in 2004, and he was actually trying to make sparkling wine and found that he loved this grape so much. He said part of that experiment was harvesting a little bit earlier. And so, no, you don't usually find it in all of the wines, but because he was going to make the sparkling wine, he harvested a little early and found this tension, and it tasted the still wine and decided to make this. So he said that's basically the work of an artisan is to do something and then maybe do something else because in the middle of it, you find something else is a little bit better. It was going to be a spumante. Instead, it was better still.
From the beginning, I believe you've been growing organically, but certification was only recently. What made you decide, even back in 2004 when you started, when you didn't have a big experience in the wine industry, to grow in this way?
Penso che il grande vino non possa essere altro che naturale.
All great wines have to be natural, because if it's not natural, then you're stripping the territory from the wine. However, it's not easy to make a well-made natural wine, so that also needs to obviously be paid attention to. So let's not mistake the way of making wine with the wine that, like, in the end. So the way to make it is natural, but the wine at the end, if it's a great wine, it's not because it's natural, if that makes sense. Like, you wanted to make it natural, but it's not because it's natural that it's a great wine, although you need that to make a great wine.
What do you think is the difference between making a wine in a natural way and maybe the way that, you know, the grandfather's generation did it, where they were growing organically, but they didn't think of it as an organic wine?
Beh, esattamente, sta, la risposta sta nelle tue parole.
Really, it was the fact that they didn't even think about it. It's exactly what you said. The difference now is that there's this cognizance of the message that they're spreading. And so just an added attention, but it was only just the fact they didn't really think about it.
And can you tell us about what's happening in Marsala today? It seems to me that it's maybe an exciting place, but because of wines like yours and Marco de Bartoli, but are there a lot of other good producers? Is there a lot of potential, or tell us more about what's going on?
Someone just wrote a book on this called The Future of Marsala that talks about, it's in Italian, but he still wants you to read it. It's very exciting because it just points to the fact that after everything that Marco de Bartoli did, who left such a great legacy for them, it kind of just stopped or kind of paused there. And with this book, it's also, and with him and the other producers, you're seeing, okay, now we're really taking his legacy and we're moving it forward. So there are several small producers that are doing this right now that they're really kind of promoting their territory, the quality of the wines, and really attesting to the fact that their wines are particularly special, especially regarding the sea and the minerality of the sea, and that these have this unique ability to show that. So this is a really big part of his mission now in making wine as well, is that a great wine should be able to be drank right away, but it should also obviously age. And that's not really something that still Marsalan wines that aren't fortified have, that people have been exploring. And so that's one of his biggest missions, is to make them ageable. And in fact, his wines can age up to 20 years. And it's pretty cool.
Do you think the future of Marsala wine is in dry still wines, like the focus of your production?
He says
he thinks really that it's a 360 future of Marsala, where they also can make really great sparkling wines. They make great pre-British Marsala wines. They make still wines, white wines. He doesn't think that it's just limited to one category of wine. It's very important for him that especially the pre-British wines, which he says is basically what Marco de Bartoli devoted his entire life to heralding, and that's what he wants to do as well.
I keep drinking the Vigna Mare, and it's so delicious. I'm loving it. Would you consider this a pre-British wine?
No, questo è un'interpretazione.
This is actually an innovation, because culture changes, the society changes, and so do we as winemakers, since our job is to show wine. So this is a modern interpretation of Marsala, and it's definitely not a pre-British wine.
I love it, but what is a pre-British wine?
Beh, la storia del Marsala dice.
Basically, the story of Marsala was invented by the British when they arrived, and they fortified the wine. Pre-British wine was what was before. So still oxidized wines that were made with the Albarello. There was no temperature control, obviously, so you're making white wines out of Albarello in this heat, and so they were often oxidized already.
Do they have floor?
Nel nostro Alto Grado c'è la flor.
Sometimes there's flor in Alto Grado, but not always, which is his sweet oxidized, higher alcohol wine. The reason that the British added the fortification is because it had to travel for a long time, but nowadays we don't want to do that because we want to drink light wines as soon as they're released. So he's looking to go back to when people were just making wines to drink at the island, not to travel with them around the world.
Poi abbiamo detto che il vino si fa solo con l'uva, quindi no alcol aggiunto.
He said, going back to the first philosophy, only with grapes, no alcohol added.
The grapes that you use are only indigenous grapes, right?
Per me sì. Ma ovviamente,
yes, for him, obviously, there are some people who do Chardonnay, whatever, other types of grapes. But he thinks about the vines as people. So if people can travel, so should vines, in terms of like in a bottle in the world to share an experience and a culture with somebody else. He was struck a lot whenever he saw the protests for apartheid in South Africa, that they had protest signs that were in English, which wasn't their language. There are some vines that have been able to become international, just like, you know, an international language. All of these French, Chardonnay, Cabernet. One day he hopes in Burgundy that they're planting Grillo.
Do you think that certain of the Marsala grapes are more apt to make different styles? I know the Zabibo, you do maceration, and I see that some other people like also macerate Zabibo. But what do you think are the styles that are best for each grape?
Io penso che non si devono avere dei protocolli.
So he basically said it's not really limited to the grapes, but he thinks it's to the vines. And every time he goes into the vineyard or into the winery, it's whatever that particular tank or vine is telling him, not necessarily this is Cazzarazzo, this is Grillo. It's really kind of the feeling, the soul of what you're doing, but not limiting it to a certain type of grape is vinified in a certain way.
And tell me more about the macerated wine, the Zibibo. And
sì, noi, come dicevo,
what the maceration is something that he started exploring like 5 days and it got to 15 and 20. And now he does it on all of his wines because it's just you need to keep trying different ways to have the maximum expression of the grape. And so he does that for everything now. And every year he doesn't stop at this is what's appropriate to do. He looks case by case every year, like restarting from the beginning for his wines and really approaching it as a new year, a new soul. Zibibo needs a little bit longer of a maceration. So 6 to 7 days, he says, of intense maceration. And then what that does is after 5 to 8 years, whenever it loses its original floral flavors, then it becomes a wine.
And even the Vigna Mare that we're tasting has some maceration.
Very, very short. 2 days before fermentation.
When you speak with the other winemakers in your area who you're friends with, what are the concerns? What are the topics that you often talk about?
Parliamo innanzitutto di ridare dignità a una zona.
Our biggest concern is to reignite and to give ourselves back this dignity of a really wonderful territory. So they want to really bring it back to what they think it should be, especially given the various parcels. So not just our Marsala as general, but like this vineyard or that vineyard, this grape. They're really looking to make it a serious winemaking region. So continuing Marco de Bartoli's mission.
Well, I think you've done an excellent job at that. I really love the wines. Thank you so much.
Grazie, grazie tanto a voi. Felice di essere stato vostro ospite.
I'm so happy to have been your guest.
That's it for our show today. Thanks so much for listening to In the Drink. Again, I'm your host, Joe Campanelli. You can follow me on Instagram at Joe Campanelli for updates on the show, going-ons at Fausto, photos of what I'm drinking, and the occasional rescue pit bull pick. You can also email me at info@inthedrinkpod.com. And please remember to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. I would so appreciate it. In the Drink is produced by our very talented producer, Jessamine Molly. A huge thanks goes to Alyssa Satter for our help with promo on the show. Again, thank you to Martina Marandola-Mullen of Massanoit Imports, and a special thanks to Rennie Lopez for our theme music. Join us next week for another episode of In the Drink.